This is Illinois Edition. I'm Sean Crawford. I'm speaking now with Rachel Otwell. Rachel, you started to expand your coverage into a new topic. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so obviously I cover arts and culture for Illinois Edition and the station at large. And part of that I'm starting to come across more and more often, maybe it's just the fact that I'm getting older, becoming a mom, wanting to plant some more roots in the community might be part of it. But spirituality is something that I hope to look into more and kind of branch out and report on more. I see it fitting into my beat here, covering culture in particular.
Now, what was your inspiration for wanting to cover spirituality? You mentioned some of the reasons.
Right. So there's not a lot of radio programming on the topic, obviously. Here at the station, we pride ourselves on our statehouse coverage, and sometimes spirituality can be a topic that seems almost to be the opposite of that, although a lot of legislators like to talk about their religion at times. I just see it as something that for a lot of people, it is one of the most important aspects of their lives. It just goes often undiscussed in a public way. And then even some secular people, you know, maybe they're agnostic, maybe even atheist, but they're still curious about other religions around the world and curious about finding out similarities between those religions or just how someone can be maybe spiritual without being religious.
Now, spirituality, that covers a lot of different topics. So what kind of topics do you see covering in this beat?
I'm definitely interested. I've heard, you know, that there are even in Springfield people who practice alternative faiths like Buddhism or Wicca, which is more of the kind of earth-based religion or spirituality, but then also just checking in with more conventional people of faith to see how that facet of their life intersects with just what their life is like on a daily basis.
And today you've brought us some stories that were shared at a Springfield event called Sacred Conversations on Race. Tell us more about this.
Right. So last month I attended the opening session, and that was at the St. Cabrini Catholic Church over on the north side of town. And it opened much like a regular church service. There was singing, for instance. I'll play a little bit of that. But instead of being a sermon led by a pastor, a few different people came up and spoke about their own experience with race. Lorna Simon was one of those people, and here's some of the story that she had to share.
Several years ago, probably around the 90s, I was walking by Feichen's school, and I noticed the kids were divided. They were playing in the playground. All the white kids were playing together, and all the black kids were playing together. And my thought was, as you'll learn later, the desegregation issue had come about. And this was a few years later. So it just struck me as odd because I thought there had been such a fight within the city of Springfield, and these children were playing separately. So when I got involved with Sacred Conversations, this basically came back to me. The reason is that Sacred Conversations, you're going to discuss systemic racism, and you're actually going to, as a congregation, you're going to have a goal at the end. But in doing that, what you're going to see is things within yourself. You're going to see things that you've done, biases, things that maybe weren't meant to be racist, but they actually resulted in being racist. So it brought me to when I was in high school. And I went to a Catholic school, and I went to Ursuline Academy. And when I went to Ursuline Academy, we had the largest minority population probably ever in a Catholic high school. Now, keep in mind, there wasn't but about 60 to 70 students in the freshman class, but there was about 12 African Americans. So I'm sure we gave the Ursuline nuns a surprise. Most of them came from Sacred Heart School at that time, and St. Pat's School, which the churches have now been joined to Catherine Drexel Parish. So when we went, we had a homeroom like 5 days into school. And so one of the nuns came up to us and said, I want you sitting right in here to stay after. And so we're like, okay, because we hadn't been there long enough to do anything wrong. So it was fine. So she waited till everybody left, and then she came up to us, and she grabbed her cross, and she said, "I am so disappointed in you girls." And we're like, "Why?" She said that your nationality, your race, fought for so long to integrate, and here you all sat together. Well, some of the girls got mad. I didn't get mad because I was puzzled, because I looked around and I thought, we are all black. You know, because it wasn't something that, as a young person, was the first thing on my mind. Okay, so this bothered me. So I went home to tell my father, because I was questioning it, because it just bothered me that she thought of us as black. He didn't understand either, because his response was, when I was trying to tell him what happened and tell him how I felt, his response was, "You tell her that we fought for the right to choose where we want to sit." Okay, well, that wasn't my issue. My issue was, I didn't see us as black. I saw us as coming from the same community. My cousin was in the class, the people I went to school at Sacred Heart, and we basically just sat together. It had nothing to do with race. And so then I reflected back to the kids that I saw playing in Feitchen's yard. I'll bet the same thing. I'm sure it's probably changed because now they're all in the community together and they're probably starting to play together. But it was the same thing. So I think from that point on, the first thing I see when I see a person is their race. I don't judge it. I just see whether you're black or white. I'm very conscious of it. So when we're dealing with our children, please keep that in mind. Our mindset is not like theirs. We teach them about racism.
You also heard from Marianne Dion. What did she talk about in this event?
She spoke about that, how as a black woman, she went through much of her life never really thinking about her race or how it affected her life. She spoke about going to UIS back when it was Sangamon State University, and how for her it was a place where she learned to embrace and celebrate diversity and different cultures, met people who were from different countries. But then she also talked about negative experience she encountered due to her race, one instance where it was used to belittle her, and then she ended up running into this woman later on. And then later, her religion helped her connect with the person who had called her a derogatory name. So here's some of her story.
A conversation of race was totally devoid. We never talked about race. There was no black, there was no white, there was no, this group is better than that group. And I'm very blessed, I would say, to have had that experience. My schools were all black, my elementary school and my high school, so my world was totally black. The churches I attended were totally black. However, I visited the South once a year, every year, where my grandmother lived and two of her sisters and a myriad of cousins and other relatives. And as a child playing, doing childlike things, I overheard from time to time conversations that I wasn't necessarily privy to about my uncles, my great uncles, who were abused by the local police, who would be stopped and have their money taken from them, the wages that they had earned for the week or for whatever period of time. I didn't know what to do with that information because I was a young person. I think the last time I heard stories like that, I was a young teenager. So I didn't have language to describe what I was hearing. And because I didn't know what to do with this information, I just stored it in the recesses of my mind. It just stayed buried for many years. Then I became a teenager, and I was just like the typical teenager. My brain was satiated with hormones, and so I did teenage things, and all those stories really got buried. They just were not an issue for me. Up to that point, I felt pretty good about myself. Being a black person was, I don't even know that it was really discussed, except for the fact that during my elementary school years, during my high school years, and as a young adult, whenever I would study the history books, most of what I read about black people was not good. And it really left me with an unsettled type of feeling.
So the event wrapped up with people breaking into small groups and having more intimate discussions that were facilitated by people who had been through the training to do so. And so these are continuing. That's a continual effort between a few different churches. They plan to keep having conversations in the area. Sister Mary Jean Traeger was one of the organizers, and she sat down with me after the service for this discussion about the goals of the Sacred Conversations on Race events.
You know, some of the churches are all white like ours, and some are all black. There is a parish in town that does have more diversity. But as Martin Luther King, I think, said once, it's the most segregated hour of the week is church, Sunday morning.
And so what are your goals with having these conversations? Should churches become more integrated, or is it just starting the conversation that you hope to do?
For sure, it's starting the conversation. Some people are ready to go further with that. And we have other opportunities in the city. There are other things going on. This is conversation. We're starting there because I know that there are people in my church who have never talked to a person of color, you know, and you know, in this day and age, we just can't live with that, you know. And so we start with conversation and we start with prayer, but we hope to go further. We will have an event at the end, a decision for some kind of an action. And I know that I have six of my parishioners who are going to some training in the beginning of March that is more in depth than this. Because we need to not only talk about race, because some people have done a lot of that, you know, especially people of color, you know, but we have to dismantle the racism, and that's what this other training provides.
And so it's called Sacred Conversations on Race, is how you framed the evening. Yeah. Some people might wonder how conversations on race could be a sacred thing.
Well, first of all, you know, in my own church, by the way, I don't have a resident priest pastor here, so I'm the leader of the church, but priest comes in and celebrates the Mass and the sacraments. But one day I heard that some of the people were saying, well, why are we doing this, you know, because nobody had ever done that before. And I addressed it with the church, and I said, the short answer is because God calls us to do it, because God created us all in God's own image and likeness, and we need to learn to understand each other. We need to learn to build relationships with one another. We need to live together as people of faith. If it means helping people to see their responsibility for their community, and that comes out of the gospel. I mean, I think Pope Francis is teaching us that a lot, you know, that we have a responsibility for the poor, for instance, or we have a responsibility for people who are being oppressed or who are not getting their full benefit of life. So I just say to people, this is, the gospel calls us to this. Jesus calls us to this.
And so what's the end goal, or is this just part of an ongoing process?
There are four parts to this. There's this opening event, and then there are two conversations that people have within their own churches. And then we will come together at the end for a fourth event that will be joined together again. And in that, hopefully, we will decide on an action. It's just scratching the surface. But I know for me, I want our people to go on and do the Crossroads training and to participate in other groups that are working. I want this to be an ongoing thing and not, oh, that was nice, we did that, now we've done our racism thing. That's not how it works.
And for those just tuning in, I'm talking with Rachel Otwell. You plan to continue more coverage on spirituality in Illinois. Tell us again how you plan to explore this topic.
Well, I've been in touch with a couple people so far and have a list going of more. One person I know of, he does tarot readings. He's generally kind of into what's considered more of the New Age type topic. He knows about Reiki and practices Reiki, which is a Japanese form of healing done through stress reduction and relaxation, something I don't know very much about myself, so I look forward to learning more about that and sharing it with listeners. Another example is an artist I've spoken with who her work, she's a local artist, her work regularly addresses spirituality, and she will be teaming up with another artist and putting together an exhibition that's all about the intersection of art and spirituality. So those are the type of things I look forward to bringing listeners, and I would also urge them to contribute any ideas if they're so inclined. They can find my contact info at wuis.org if they search for my name.
And again, that's Rachel Otwell, and of course she covers arts and culture here for NPR Illinois and here on Illinois Edition, and she's kicking off a new reoccurring look at spirituality. And for more on her segment today on Sacred Conversations on Race, head to wuis.org. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Sean.